Hello and welcome to Leading Words, words that God Himself separated and placed in the Holy Scriptures to help you receive everlasting life. Words that Jesus Himself parsed and said they are spirit and they are life. They were designed to give you everlasting life. Well, today is another special day. It's another special day, and it's another day to remind you that God rules in the affairs of men, that God rules, and that this world is not on autopilot. Because many people believe that this world is running in itself, and it's not. Some people believe superstitiously that this world is run or ruled by an entity called karma. I don't know if it's a woman or a man. I don't know what is karma, but karma does bring bad things. If you do bad, karma will bring it back to you. And some people believe, well, this world is run by the rules that somebody named Murphy invented, and Murphy's law controlled this world, because if you do bad, Murphy will make sure that anything to go bad. That Murphy's law. So you have Murphy on one hand and you have karma on the other hand, and then you have a entity by the name of Fatum, and they said that Fatum decide how things are going to end, how things are going to finish. And and some people believe that, well, Fatum does design the ending of life and of things, and that fatum, and that's where we come with this term fatalism from, or fatalities, you see, because I would say, well, fatum designed that to happen that way, and if fatum says it's going to happen that way, nothing can change it. So that's why, you know, if somebody get in an accident, we say, well, the person met her or his fate. Fate, not faith, but fate. And we will say that, you know. And if the person died, we say, well, how many fatalities we had in that accident? One, two fatalities. What it mean? Well, two people met their fate, the design that Fatum had set them up for, and nothing could change that. Year four, one of these Hollywood big shot singers came up with a fancy song. Que será, será. Whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see. Que será, será. Because Fatum says it won't finish like that, and nobody can change it. Well, last week we spoke a little bit about this, and that the Apostle John saw in heaven that there was a throne in heaven, and there was one seated on the throne, and he saw that then that heaven is running the whole of this system. Heaven is running the affairs of men, and it's not running on autopilot, but somebody is seated on the throne. And he said, and the one that sat on the throne was to be looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And we talk about the jasper stone, which is the stone that represents the first son of Jacob, or the first born of the tribe of Israel. And the last stone, which is a jasper stone, represents Benjamin, the last son. So the first stone, sardine stone, represents the first son, and the last stone, the jasper stone, represents the last son of Jacob. And he had 12 sons, and each one of these sons turned out to become a tribe. So 12 tribes made up Israel. But look what God is saying. He that sat on the throne was to be looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. It means he was to be looked upon like the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega, or in Hebrew, say the Aleph and the Tab, the first and the last. And we learned a little thing last week too, that it is not what those entities out there and superstition says that rule. It is what God says rules. And I tell you what too, this God is such a powerful God that this God sometimes turn facts into your favor. Because sometimes the doctors will say, hey, it's over, man. There is nothing else going to help you and your condition. There is nothing that's going to change this. And you know what? The facts back it up. There is nothing to change the condition until he that sits on the throne in heaven steps over and says, until I determine otherwise. And sometimes the facts are saying it's over. And then he steps in and says, it's not over until I says it's over. That's God. That's Jesus Christ. He said, I am the first and I am the last. I am the beginning and I am the ending. And we read that also in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. He said in Philippians, he said, he that begin this good work in you is well able to finish it or take it on to perfection even until the day of Jesus Christ. He's the first. He's your last. I want you to read with me again. I want you to look again in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. But this time we're going to read now. We are going to look at verse 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 3, and then we may read verse 4. But look at verse 3 again. He that sat was to be looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. But then something very unusual happened here. He said, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight. He made it clear that he saw a throne. He said, I saw this throne in heaven. I saw this throne in heaven. And I saw somebody sitting on the throne. But he that sat at the throne was to be looked upon a jasper and a sardine stone, or the last and the first, or the first and last. But then he said, the throne that was set in heaven, he said, the throne, right, was a rainbow round about it. A rainbow round about this throne in sight, but the rainbow was like an emerald. So now we have a little more complication here. He said that there is a throne set in heaven, but the throne is in the midst of a rainbow. But he's saying this rainbow is very unusual. And what makes this rainbow unusual is because it's not a bow. Because a bow has a beginning point and then it finishes at another point. It's a bow, right? And we call a bow because when you're going to shoot an archers, you know, they carry bows, beginning and ending. But this rainbow, he still uses the word rainbow, I guess, to give you the idea. He said, this rainbow is a different one. He said, this rainbow is round. It goes round. And in the midst of the rainbow is the throne of God. So what is he saying? The throne of God is suspended on nothing. It's like floating there, but completely around the throne, there is a rainbow. Oh, but it tells us something. And what is the something that it is saying unto us? It is saying, because rainbow, the first time that we see rainbow in the Bible, we see it in chapter 9 of Genesis, when God had just got through with the flood and he made a promise unto Abraham. He said, Abraham, I will never destroy this world with water like this, the way I destroyed it before. And he said, and the token that I'm going to show you as a symbol as of my promise to you, I will give you the rainbow. And poof, presented a rainbow. And he said, and anytime you see this rainbow, remember that the promises that I made to you, they are eternal and they will never change, because I made this promise to you. So anytime you feel that the whole world is going to collapse on you and that I'm going back on my word, you will see the rainbow to remind you, when I make a promise, I keep the promise. So rainbow symbolizes the promises of God, the promises of God. And we know that, we know that. Look at this, the promises of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 again, verse 20. He says that the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yes and amen. So what is he saying? That when God make a promise, he keeps the promise. In Hebrews 13:5, he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Does he keep that promise? Yes. So each time you're going through difficulties, you're going through by yourself? No. Why? Because he made a promise. He said, Hebrews 13:5, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Lo, I shall be with you even unto the end of the world. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19-20, he said, and lo, I shall be with you even unto the end of the world. So when we go out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, making disciples and teaching them and baptizing them and doing the things of God, is he leaving us by ourselves? No. He said, lo, I shall be with you even unto the end of the world. That's the promise. Is he with us? Yes. Because when he make a promise, he fulfills it. But I want you to know this. The throne of God is in the midst. And around the throne is the rainbow. What is he saying? I control my promises. He's saying, when I make promises, I keep those promises. And if I make them for you, you can rest assured they're going to be fulfilled. Oh, there is something else too about the promises of God. He's trying to let us understand that there is a key to taking advantage of these promises. Notice he make it very clear. He said the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yes and amen. So what's the key behind the promises? Jesus Christ. And look what he's saying. They are yes and amen. So if God promised to heal you, is he still going to heal you? The answer is yes and amen. And if God promised you, you will have a child, is he going to give you the child? Yes and amen. And if God promised you that you he's going to bring a husband for you or a wife for you, or you'll get a job, or you'll be able to form a home, or you will live and not die, or he's going to bring a miracle about in your life, is he still going to do this? The answer is always yes and amen. But for them to be yes and amen to your benefit, you must remain in Jesus Christ. He said all of his promises in Christ Jesus, they are yes and they are amen. Amen. But look, notice the promises are in the midst. The throne are in the midst of the promises. It is showing us that there is one person controlling the promises. God controlled his own promises, not we. God controlled his promises. Having said that, I want to say something else. Because we think that somehow we can influence these promises. For some reason, we think that we can manipulate the promises of God. And the truth is, we cannot. We have heard people saying that if you repeat certain things, then the promises is going to come to you. You don't need to do that. God have his throne in the midst of the promises. His throne. Like people will say, well, you want money? Well, say, money, 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 money come to me. Money, I love you. Money love me. Money, money, money. And if you keep saying money come to me, money, I love you, and I love money, money love me. And if you keep saying these things, then the money will come. No. Don't let people fool you with nonsense, all right? God run the affairs of this world. And if God promised you, look what he says, Matthew 6:33, right? He said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he said, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's a promise. You seek the kingdom first, and all the things that you need, God will add them to you. You don't need to go around repeating money, 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 money. I got money, money like me. I like money, money, money. I need money, money need me. And you don't need to, I got good luck. I need luck, luck, love me. I love luck, luck. No, 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 no. Your repetition don't control the promises of God. God have his throne in the midst of the promises. So what God is saying, my promises, I control them myself. I rule in the affairs of men, and I rule in my own promises. So if God make the promise, his throne is in the midst of his promises. But look at this next thing too. Notice that this rainbow doesn't finish one place. Remember they used to tell you that if you want to find a pot of gold, you got to find where the rainbow ends. Not this one, because this rainbow have no ending. This rainbow starts but have no ending. It's a circular bow. It's a circular rainbow. And look at it. It keep going. And it's to show you the non-expirationness of this. What is it saying? That the promises of God has no expiration date on it. It keeps circular. You see that? It keeps going and going and going. So if God promised you something, if it takes 100 years, will you still get the promise? The answer is yes. If it takes 1,000 years, will you still get this promise? Yes. If it takes 1,000,000 years, will you get the promise? Yes. Why? Because the promises of God, they are circular. You see, they have no ending. They have no expiration. There's a little third thing there hidden also. Notice the Bible says that the color of this rainbow. Now, we know that rainbows have like 5, 6, 7 colors, red, blue, orange, you know, purple and yellow and all the different colors, but not this rainbow. He said, and this rainbow that I saw, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 3, the bottom part, it says, but the color of this rainbow looked like emerald, like an emerald. Huh, he said, this rainbow was in sight like an emerald. So what is it saying to us? It's saying to us that emerald, remember we spoke about the stones? You got to look at last week's program. But remember, the breastplate of the priest had 12 stones. And the number 4th stone belongs to the 4th child of Judah or of Jacob. And the 4th child of Jacob is the man by the name of Judah. And Judah's birthstone is emerald. So emerald represents Judah. He said this rainbow is the color of emerald, the color of the 4th son. And the 4th son is Judah. But Judah, Jada, means praise. Praise. So what is he saying? That the throne of God is set in the midst of his promises. But these promises, right, come to fruition, come to excitement, come to vividness in the praises, in the praises. Why? It means that when we praise God, you see that? The throne of God is activated to our behalf. Why? God have his throne in the midst of his promises, but he also have his throne in the midst of the praises. Oh, and when the praises begin, if you read it in Psalms 22 and 3, the Bible said to us that when the praises begin, God enthroned himself in the midst of the praise, in the midst of the praises of his people. So when the people praise God, God come and establish his throne in the midst of the praises. And that's what John said, I saw the throne, and the throne was in the midst of the promises, but the promises was the color of praise. Emerald, praise. Judah, Jada, praise. He said, wow, the throne of God was in the midst of his promises. It means he controlled his promises, but at the same time, it was in the midst of praises, praises. Psalms 22:3, it says, God will enthrone himself in the midst of the praises of his people. I have a last word for you. And the last word is this. When God enthroned himself, mean when God sit down, he doesn't sit down to rest because he's tired. When God sit down, he sit down to give commands. He sit down to take the control, to run this thing and to run your life. Psalms 91 said, he will give his angels charge over you. So when you praise God in the midst of his throne, God will sit there. When you praise him, he will enthrone himself and then sit there and give the angels command for you. He said he will give his angels charge over you. He runs your life. He runs the kingdom. He runs everything. And there are some angels standing by for him to command them. So if you will praise him, these promises for you, they are ready. And the angels are standing by, waiting on his command. Receive Christ. Keep Christ in your heart, because all of his promises for you in Christ, they are yes and they are amen. And he sits on his throne to order the angels, give them charge over you. God bless you. Keep Christ until we meet again.